Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshet-Arel.
Hello.
And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the very troubling phenomenon of the increasing violence in society. Every day you hear about some new and more acute case of violence, and we'd like to learn what can we do about it. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we feel that things in terms of violence are escalating in our day-to-day life, starting with violence at hospitals, malls, flights, parking lots, hotels, kindergartens. There is violence against doctors, nurses, waiters, parents, teachers, you name it. It can really happen to anyone. For example, last week, I was driving and someone blocked the road. I'm in a rush and I see that nothing's moving. Usually, I'd step out and ask or see what's going on. And I thought several times, should I get out of the car? Because who knows, someone there went crazy and he'll try to, I don't know, he can even try to kill me nowadays. It's really a feeling that things are becoming more extreme, much more extreme. Things that up until now were unacceptable in society. This is the feeling. And on this show, we'd like to better understand what's going on, especially lately. Where does it come from? Why? First of all, we have to understand that we became a very individualistic society. If in the past we came from the same village, from the same city, it was a small country, we're all Jews, or the people of Israel, suppose, there was some kind of sense of belonging to a bigger or smaller family, but there was something. It kind of made us more calm. It gave people a different attitude toward others. Today there's no such thing. Today the world consists of 8 billion complete strangers, including children and their parents, and the parents between themselves, and so on. A person stops feeling his household, his family, his relatives, the people of his city, the citizens of his country, and altogether. A person has no inner feeling that these people belong to me somehow, and these don't. Maybe it's good for the future that maybe this way will become a global mankind where there's no difference between people. But in the meantime, we see that the natural ties that existed between us for thousands of years are being torn. This is one phenomenon. Another phenomenon is that every person is under tremendous external pressures because the pace of life became such that you can't stand it. By nature, we're not built for it. We're built to live in a village, in a small city, and that's too much too. I have a friend. He lives in Canada, in the north of Canada. in some small village, 3,000 to 5,000 people. He himself is a lawyer. He's saying, I can't stand the pressure of life. And then, every few months, he takes a carriage. You mean a caravan? No, no, not by car. With these animals, how do you call them? Horse, what? No, 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 you have that in Canada. I'm not familiar with Canadian animals.
Okay.
What's its name? Buffalo. He takes special people that will take him and his family, and then he drives for 20 hours to the north where there's no one for thousands of kilometers. You know Canada. And he says, oh, I'm calm. After that, I calm down. I come back to my crazy city. I was there. You can barely see people. But that's how a person feels. So what I want to say is that we entered such a pace of life that our nervous system can't function by this pace. It's like keeping a car engine on high RPM. How long can you keep it? You have to decrease it eventually and service the car and so on. So the increasing tendency toward violence, of course it exists. It's a result of the pace of life. Besides the pace of life, it's because one way or another we become smarter and we're discovering that our life is meaningless. Were you to talk about the meaning of life 100 or all the more 200 or more years ago, people wouldn't understand. What are you talking about? I remember 40 or 50 years ago when I started taking interest in the wisdom of Kabbalah. So I talked about what interests me and so on. People say, a friend tells me, I don't understand. Why these questions? What's life for? We live our life, that's that. What do you mean, what for? I live because I'm alive. But I'm telling you, soon you'll die. And then, what's life for? That's how everyone is. Meaning, he doesn't feel any kind of shortcoming because life will eventually come to an end and is kind of meaningless. And how's that related to violence? Discontent. It leads to violent eruptions, emptiness. Yeah, emptiness, everything together. That I'm living a life that I didn't choose, that I don't want it, that I'm forced to, and every time there are more and more obligations, and I don't know how to end all of this. And today a person can't agree to that anymore. Sure, there are people that would like to run away from all these things, to villages, to something. There's no real place to run to nowadays because still you have to arrange your life. Today everything is arranged in such a way that if you don't work for 8-10 hours a day, you don't have enough money to make ends meet, and you don't have enough food and shelter and so on. So we built life in such a way that the increasing phenomenon of violence is a result of time. Why now? As a person studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, I can say that the time has come that we start correcting ourselves, meaning that our nature truly needs correction and it has to be taken care of. So let's see, how can we benefit ourselves? I'm not even talking about spiritual phenomena, something beyond this life, even in this life, let's keep ourselves in a calmer way. And here, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's all a matter of education, that we have to allow people to come closer to each other, to circulate some kind of a good force between them. They have to understand that by influencing each other in a good way, for the better, they can calm each other down and even be content with life. But it all depends on education, and unfortunately, no one's taking care of it. So much so that we stop believing in it altogether. We're not aware that education can turn our life around. One more aspect I'd like to ask about. In recent years, when you hear on the news about new eruptions of violence, and you look at the people that did it, there's more and more of a feeling that before they erupted, these people looked completely normative. It could be a young kindergarten teacher. It could be a 70-year-old man. You, at your age. It could actually be anyone. We're like in a kind of world that as if went crazy. And whoever you look at, they look completely normal, but in a second, a terrible monster can break out of that person and act in such a violent way that you couldn't imagine that this person could act that way. You see it in the United States because they can buy weapons. So everyone, and you don't know what's going to happen with that person in a moment. He himself doesn't know. Because people are experiencing such inner pressures that are hidden from the person himself. That suddenly he takes out his gun and is going to finish everyone off, including himself. The main thing is that we disagree with the life that we live and we don't know what to do about it. And therefore the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that we have reached a state where we have to start correcting ourselves, meaning reaching the end of correction, our personal end of correction, and then this phenomenon will stop. What exactly do we have to correct in order to stop this violence? The simplest and closest thing, which is to instill correct relations between people. That's it. And if you invest only in that, let's leave everything else that we're doing aside, besides the basic things that we need in order to maintain our bodies like any other animal. If besides that, we'll take care only of our relationships, to come closer, understand, feel, arrange our life like sweet children in kindergarten, even if it makes you laugh. If we'll invest in that as a global task, our global mission, you will see that by this we will solve all problems, all of them. Nothing's missing, only that. And it's going to be easy because everyone will encourage, will help everyone else. You said like sweet children in kindergarten. My mother was a kindergarten teacher, and also all of my aunts were either kindergarten teachers or school teachers, and also my wife, her entire life worked in kindergartens. And in recent years, my wife used to tell me that every day as she goes into the kindergarten, from year to year, month to month, week to week, she can't believe her eyes. Throughout her workday, she used to visit maybe five different kindergartens a day and saw different kinds of population. The violence that you have today in kindergartens, you can't imagine it until you see it. Little children. You said like sweet children in kindergarten. Today in kindergartens, not all children are that sweet. And the non-sweet children, they erupt in such violence that It's unclear. Also, you can't see it coming. It suddenly erupts. Exactly. Now, you're an optimist. You said, look, I asked you, what exactly do we have to correct? What does a person have to correct in order to overcome violence? You said, we have to correct the relationships between people. So let's do a simulation. We're in a kindergarten. We'd like for all the children to be sweet. Not all of them are sweet. I'm giving them to you at a young age. Could be 3 or 4. It's really beginning. You can already see violence erupting there. What can we correct? Step by step. I'm the kindergarten teacher. We're the pedagogical team. What should we focus on in order to shift things for the better? If we don't, they'll develop like all other children and we'll become a very violent society like we see today. But if we do something when they're still small, maybe we can shift things for the better. You said that we have to instill good, correct relationships between people. Great. What do we begin with? I enter a kindergarten where the average age is 40 plus. Again, please. I see them as little children. Where do you go? I come to a society that at average is of the ages of 40 plus. These are your students, I don't understand the situation. Any kind of society, doesn't matter where, a factory. This is what I consider a kindergarten. As it says, what can you do with kids that grew old? And I start with them. I don't start with the ages of 2, 3, or 4. I start with the ages of 40 plus. Why? Well, suppose, when people already understand that things aren't going to be better, that things will be as they were, and they'll keep living in this kind of society, and tension, and hate, and with everything that's happening on the roads, they feel it. Yeah, and then I talk to them. What do I have to tell children? Children are children. They are a result of their generation. But here I'm talking to the cause of the generation. So I have who to talk to. And then, out of them, I start organizing groups. Like in kindergarten. I explain to them that we have to reach connection and balance and correct relationships between us. And of course, no one wants to, but everyone wants to be king of the world. But we have to. It's clear. We have to know that everything depends on everyone and everyone has to help everyone else in this regard. And let's do exercises of how to do it. Let's do it in our society and in our country, and so on and so forth. Meaning there is who to talk to because these people have experienced enough bitterness in life. Everyone experienced violence and fear of violence and all these things, so you have who to talk to. Most of them have a family and children, and they want for things to be calmer in the family and for the children to grow up differently. But less than the age of 40, I think that there is no one to talk to, really. The age of 40, it's a kind of age in which a person starts seeing the half that went by and the half that, in the best case scenario, he has left. And he has a family and obligations and things, and he sees that unless we do something, things aren't going to get any better. So, this is what I do. So, suppose I'm sitting in front of you, you're starting to explain these things, that we have to reach balance, and this and that, and I have a question. What do I do with a violent urge that's about to erupt? It's about to erupt. I know that this happened yesterday and the day before, and will probably happen tomorrow too. What do I do? When I ask people, they say, I go on the internet. Just don't read the news because maybe that'll cause you to erupt even quicker. So I watch some comedy, or I watch sports, soccer. Why is soccer good? Because then I erupt on the spot where I am with my beloved group or something. And you have many options of how to discharge yourself. Not to erupt, but to relieve yourself. To read some joke book, to listen to music, light music, serious music. There are different means. But eventually, I have to prevent myself from erupting and guide myself toward this new kind of education. Okay, so you take these guys that are in the middle of their life, they understand what they don't want, they experienced all of life's tensions and so on, and now you went with them over all of these things that you just talked about, and we're talking about how to build good relations between people. How will such a society function? Will there or won't there be violence in it? Because one way or another, we have this inner urge. So why should we take this kind of education? What will it give us? Everyone, including everyone, keep each other calm. Helping each other to accept life in a balanced fashion, to give a good example for children, for the younger ages, those that are under 40, that we arrange our life from 40 and on, so we also take care of those from the ages of 0 and until 40.
Okay.
And gradually we influence them. And this is how we arrange a good and nice society. The influence of the environment over a person is something tremendous. No one can withstand it, can stand against it. And therefore, if we increase this kind of influence, I think that we'll see results very quickly. There will be no violence in such a society. Not only violence, negative phenomena in general. People won't have this inner urge to erupt. No, because the atmosphere will be different. Will there be tension? No tension. Not on the roads, not in the family, not in classrooms, nowhere. Will a person feel this inner tension, wanting to erupt? No, he'll be influenced by the environment, that they're all calm, and whether he wants to or not, he'll be calm too. What will balance him out? Today we feel this pressure very strongly in life. Why? For all the aforesaid reasons, and I can add to that, work, everything is very stressful. Everything that we talked about up until now. What will make it so that all of these pressures, that I can't even imagine life without these pressures, but what will deflate all of this? Why do I all the time have to be in pressure, under pressure? I don't want to. I need to have this inner drive, but it should be positive, to want to reach something, to do something, that I feel a kind of inner restlessness, that I feel life.
Okay.
But that's it. So what will leave me with only a positive drive for life to develop, that you're balanced with the environment? It's all a matter of relationships. Of course. Why? Why? Because I'm a product of my environment. Where am I living? Were I to live in the jungle now, would I be stressed out? Maybe because of some snake that could fall on my head from some tree, but otherwise, meaning I depend on my environment. I'm in a constant interaction with the environment. And that's that. You said at first that there are three factors that bring about these violent eruptions that we experience. One thing is that we're strangers. Okay, this will disappear because we'll have better relationships, we'll start feeling each other. Another thing is, you said, the crazy pace of life. And the third thing is that you said that we became wiser and we're no longer willing to live life as we do. How will education influence these three factors and will make me happy? It's called public opinion. It will influence everyone. Because we don't understand the extent to which we're in a field of thoughts, desires, yearnings that belongs to the entire nation, that includes everyone, even the entire world. It influences everyone. And if we enter this field of balance, tranquility, where we influence each other in a good and nice way, it'll necessarily influence everyone. You don't need prisons, you don't need anything. We only have to move ourselves away from this unnecessary tension in the direction of correct relations, relationships between us. Last question. Violence is growing in order to bring us to what actually? To a good, nice connection between us, and then we will really feel that life's good. So violence today is erupting in order to show us what do we have to invest in, which is our relationships. Right. So even though that a person can seemingly relieve the tension that he personally feels, the broader treatment of building a new society will actually prevent the accumulation of stress to begin with. This is what you're talking about. Yeah. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.